Good morning to you all. I'd like to introduce you to a lady called Esther. Not the Esther of the Bible, but a wonderful Christian lady from Lae, about the second largest city in Papua New Guinea. She was a widow and had three middle school children. And it was getting harder to pay the education fees for them, because education is not free in PNG. And her relatives had fallen on hard times and couldn't help her either. We were invited to go and view a project introduced by the Australian government to help people like Esther. It was breeding meat rabbits. Meat rabbits. Rabbits of quality and selling them in the local street market for a much needed protein. And so Esther was given two does, they tell me that's a female rabbit, and one buck, three rabbit coops, and access to food pellets. And after the first batch, she was expected to become self-sufficient. And a rabbit from the first batch could be hers, and she could do what she wished with the proceeds and pay the rest into the government fund to help pay for the education of her children and others. Well, the first doe produced four little ones. But when we visited, there were only three left in the coop. Esther told us one of the rabbits had grown so quickly she had already been able to sell it. And so we ask, well, what did you do with the money? For that one was yours. And this is what she told us. Last Sunday at church, we were told of a group of people who had come into the city, but they couldn't get a job. My church was setting up a fund to purchase food for them. I gave the money to Jesus to help the needy people, because I believe Jesus would look after the necessary things I needed. And when I got home, I checked the second coop, and I was surprised to find that there were eight newborn rabbits alive and healthy. And I've never forgotten Esther's words. She said, I want you to know my Jesus always provides the things I need. She emphasized need, not want. And today, I just want to share with you for a few moments what the Bible says about giving. Evidently, I gave a sermon similar to this because I did find it in my computer. And I'd see that it was about 12 years ago. And I thought, praise God, will somebody listen to what the sermon was that day 12 years ago. And today we're going to look at what the Bible says about the ministry of giving of our money and possessions to Jesus from the book of Corinthians. I'm going to ask my wife to come up and read some passages from the books of Corinthians. Now, don't get alarmed. I don't think she's going to be very long. Thank you. And she's a far better reader than I am.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and our first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now, regarding your questions about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. And now I'm going to read a selection of verses from 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that God in his kindness, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also full of abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers at Jerusalem. They did even more than we had hoped for. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you do it eagerly. And give accordingly to what you have, not what you don't have. I don't mean your giving to make life should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I now know how eager you are to help. And I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you and Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they shared freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yet you will be enriched in every way, so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result of this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them, and all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for his gift to you, too wonderful for words.
Thank you, Grace. And so my comments to you this morning are based on the letters that Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinth. And I was thinking about this. Those comments have been preserved in the Bible for us, as Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit to say these things. This is what God says. I want to make it very clear that eternal life cannot be purchased with our wealth or background. Listen to what the Bible says. God paid a ransom to save you, and it was not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And before we look at the ministry of giving, I point out two statements which are most worthy of note from the passages we have read today. And the first one is this. Most of all, God wants us to give ourselves to him. That was the challenge to me. Have I really given myself to God? Or as J. John says, have I come to Jesus as my Saviour and then I've said, Jesus, get in the boot of my car, would you? Because I don't want people to know about it. We read, the first action of these Christians was to give themselves to the Lord and to us as God wanted them to do. And the second thing that I've been impressed with as I've looked at these verses is this. I'm asked, and you are asked, to imitate the Lord Jesus. Richard, how are you going with that? You know the generous gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, my sakes, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And you know, I just want to say to you today, and I've dealt with finance and so on all my life. If you're a Christian, you're the most wealthy person on this earth. Billionaires cannot be compared with you. Imitate the Lord Jesus. Now, this giving is one of the touchy subjects for people to preach about. It upsets many Christians because they reckon All they're doing is trying to fleece us. And then others go the opposite direction and say, well, you know, we better have more sermons about tithing. You know, Jesus often talked about being a good steward of what God has given us. So what did the Corinthian letters teach us about giving? I found the seven principles from Corinthians. Now don't get alarmed, I'm going to go through these very quickly. The first three are from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Here's the first principle. Everyone. Did you get it? Everyone should be involved in the ministry of giving. Verse 2 says, each one of you. Second principle, giving should be regular. The Corinthians were instructed to do it on the first day of the week. Now, if you're in a salaried position, you usually get your money, don't you, about every second week, or it might be once a month. If you're self-employed, it can be any time. But giving should be regular. Number three, the amount should be in proportion to what you have earned. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Clear as that. And then we come to the other four in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Number four, give eagerly from what you have, not what you don't have. They tell me that that could be translated, you know, give hilariously. Give eagerly. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly from what you have, not from what you don't have. Chapter 9, verse 5 says, I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Grudgingly. Number five, you should not give so much that you suffer from having too little yourself. Verse 13 of chapter 8. I don't mean that your giving should make it easy for others while you suffer from having insufficient yourself. And that happens in some churches. I've heard people stand up in church pastors and say, well, go down to the bank and get a loan out so that you can give it to the church. The Bible never instructs stuff like that. Number six, don't ever give in response to pressure. Chapter 9, verse 7. Don't give reluctantly in response to pressure. Decide in your heart how much to give. And number seven, give with the right attitude. Chapter 9, verse 7, and I've already referred to this, I think, for God loves a cheerful giver. I was thinking about this. You know, and I've started it anyway. You know, I give what I think is appropriate for me through the banking system. And, you know, when I press the button now, I just give a little short prayer to my God. Oh God, use this small gift to honour your name. I got so careless that I just pressed the button and never thought about it until I went over these words. There are some wonderful promises given to those who are generous. Chapter 9, verses 6 to 15 is worth reading again. Just two. In this passage, God will provide all you need and even more so that you can have a glorious time? No. So that you can give even more. Some of the stories that I've read about businessmen who have given 90% of what they've earned. Now, they've been earning an awful lot, but they live just in a very ordinary life. God will provide all you need. And if you're a great steward, he will give you even more. And the second thing that is a wonderful promise to receive, the needs of people will be met. And there's huge needs out there in our society, is there not? It would be great if we as a church met some of those needs here in the community of Roslyn. Well, the needs of the people will be met. And then it says they will give thanks to God. Oh, we wish that would happen a bit more, don't we, in communities? Give thanks to God. And I'll pray for you with deep affection. That's a real encouragement to me. Maybe I'm a bit selfish, I don't know. But it would be great if my giving made people say, thank the Christians at Church on Vogel because they're so affectionate to us and they help us. I love the incident recorded in the Gospels. Jesus sat at the temple and watched people put their gifts into the collection box. Many did it with great ceremony and gave large amounts. People who did that were the religious ones, did you know that? And they even got a trumpeter beside them and, come and see how much I'm giving. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Did you hear that? Dropped in two small coins. I want to encourage you this morning. I really do. Perhaps that's all you can give. Life is difficult. But here was a widow, a poor widow, and she dropped in two small coins. Who in Jesus' eyes gave the most? Listen to his reply. I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Be encouraged. For even what is small in the eyes of men and women, if given sacrificially, is worth far more in the eyes of Jesus. And I just think it would be wonderful when I meet Jesus, he would say, thank you for the sacrifices you made for me. Did you notice the notice up there? Have a look at it. Jesus paid it all. He gave everything. To redeem me and you back to God. All to him I owe. That's the chorus of an old hymn that I sang in Sunday school. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I'm going to suggest now that we consider a question. Am I robbing God? Am I? I've got to think about that a lot. And I'm going to suggest now that we just all bow our heads for a few moments and ask God how he sees my giving. And if he says, you know, you're robbing me, ask for his forgiveness. And from now on, put the matter right and remember the principles from the book of Corinthians. That's what God asks. Bow our heads now. First of all, God, how do you see my giving? Please show me. And if we are robbing God, ask, please forgive me. Oh God. And from now on, put the matter right. Not with the church, but with God himself. Lord Jesus, thank you for paying the price so that we might be restored to you. We confess that everything we have, and really the good standard of country of living that we're used to in this country, You've given us all that. Oh God, I just pray that you'll help me and all my brothers and sisters in this congregation to be worthy stewards of all that you have given to us. Lord, we just want to say thank you for all that you have done for us, all you're doing, and all that you're going to do in the future. Oh, please guide us as a church. And Lord, provide for our needs. And for the cost of everything that enables your gospel to be heralded. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.